All right, David Bowie, still miss him every day. Think about it every day. He was a legend, an icon, and there's a new book out called Bowie and Photographs by Steve Shapiro. Steve is joining us in the studio right now. Welcome. Thank you for coming in.
It's great to be here.
Now, just to get all the deets out at the beginning, the new book, Bowie, you are going to be doing a signing at the Ed Paschke Art Center, 3 p.m. on Saturday, this Saturday, May 21st, 5415 West Higgins Avenue. That's in Jefferson Park. The event is free, but if you want to reserve a copy of the book, and it's gorgeous, you can have it signed that day by Steve Shapiro, $50. Is that right?
It's a first edition also, and the book came out, and the second day the publisher sold out, and so now it's going into a second edition.
That's fantastic and well-deserved. These pictures are stunning. Every picture that we've looked at in this picture in the book, Steve, is stunning. Do me a favor. You spent some time with him, obviously, and you got to know him fairly well. Give us a little picture of what David Bowie was like as far as you were concerned.
I think David Bowie was brilliant. I didn't know what to expect. I did the part of this book in 1975, and I had seen all the pictures of Ziggy, and I expected someone to come in a very flamboyant way, and he came in without an entourage, very simply, easy to get along with, very spiritual. And the first thing he did was he asked one of my assistants if he could borrow his shirt, which was a dark shirt, a croc neck shirt, went into the dressing room, and 20 minutes later came out, and he had painted diagonal stripes across the entire outfit that he had and painted his toes white also. And then we had set up background paper, and he proceeded to go to the background paper and make these circles, these big circles on the paper, and even a question mark. And then he drew the Tree of Life graph from the Kabbalah on the background paper. So basically, he had come in with a very spiritual idea, or an idea of what he wanted out of the session. And with it, he brought a lot of costumes. And we started shooting, and I would hold up my camera to take a picture, and he would say, "Wait a minute, I have to go fix something." And he'd go away, and again he'd be gone for 20 minutes, and he'd come back, and something totally different. And I never photographed the first one, which was not a photographer's paradise.
Now, does that make it easier for a photographer or more difficult? Isn't it easier that a subject knows exactly what he wants, or does that take away your artistic freedom?
I like it because when I photograph, I'm after the spirit and the sense of a person. And if he's talking to me or if I'm butting into it too much, he's not really being himself, per se. And that's what I really love to photograph. But I photographed, I've photographed Marlon Brando and, you know, Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King. And all of them have something in common, which is just this enormous inner sense and inner sense of joy and direction.
What a wide gamut of subjects you're taking. There's some photos of Andy Warhol as well. Really gorgeous.
Yeah. I did a book called Heroes, which actually you can get very cheap on the internet because they printed too many of them. But it's a book which has Andy Warhol, Martin Luther King, Muhammad Ali, Barbara Streisand, and a few other people.
Couldn't get anyone good. That's too bad. That's so sad. Steve, there's so many great pictures in this book about David Bowie, but there's one in particular I would love for you to explain to me. It's David Bowie holding up a book about Buster Keaton, and on the book cover you see Buster Keaton's face, the silent film star Buster Keaton, and David Bowie seems to be wanting to emulate that same pose and same look, and he does. Where did the idea for that?
Well, it's funny. When we first started the shoot, this very shoot I did with him, which actually started in 4 in the afternoon and ended up at 4 in the morning,
wow,
with him on a bike and shot with the headlights of a car, we started talking when we first met. And one of the things that really brought us together was that I had photographed Buster Keaton. And Buster Keaton was definitely one of Bowie's heroes. And actually, I helped David put together his tour program for 1976 called Isolar, and he insisted on putting in one of my Buster Keaton pictures in there. But he had great liking for that. And there's a similarity in the sense that David kept growing and he kept inventing different characters and all. And Buster Keaton also, the great stone face, really would have been a civil engineer if he wasn't one of the great comedians of his time, in the sense that he worked out all the stunts himself, mm-hmm. so that when a house falls down around him and he's still standing there, that's something he designed.
It's amazing.
They were both very inventive.
I never would have drawn a parallel between those two performers, but you're right. There it is, right in front of us. How about that?
Here's another question that I have about a picture in here, a series of photographs. I wouldn't picture David Bowie shooting target practice. What's the story behind the gun?
This was just when we were on, I worked with him on the film The Man Who Fell to Earth, and this was just a recreational moment, getting away from the set and relaxing, and it's a pellet gun, and he was just kidding around. He's not someone who walks around with a gun in any way. And it was just a relaxed day, very relaxed day, getting away from all the movie stuff.
Steve Shapiro in the studio with us. You have four. This is your fifth book, or am I off?
It's my eighth book.
Eighth book. Because I am on your website, steveshapiro.com. You have Shapiro's Heroes that you mentioned. American Edge. What can we see in that book?
American Edge was a book about the spirit of the United States in the 60s. The recent books I've done, I did a book called Bliss, which is still out, which was about the hippie generation today as opposed to what I photographed in 1967 for Life magazine in Haight-Ashbury. And it's a change from basically a reliance upon Indian culture, which really it was involved in the hippie generation where, you know, we were into heavy drugs and something like that. And today it's much more a sense of meditation, open eye meditation, and also yoga and things like that.
So it's a healthier hippie generation.
Yeah, my son got me into it, and we went to a lot of music fairs, festivals all over the country, and that was exciting. And it really is involved also around ecstatic dancing.
And, you know, it seems there's more muscle tone on new bred hippies than there were in the past. They were very skinny and didn't have a lot of muscle tone because they were just laying around having sex and doing drugs.
Well, I guess people are eating better these days.
Right. The sex and drugs are still there, but we have now found kale, so everything balances out, right?
You got it, baby.
And you've done some work, a couple of Godfather books.
I did a book on The Godfather, and I did a book on Taxi Driver. The book I'm working on now, which will probably come out at the end of the year, is actually a Chicago book. It's about Mercy Cordier, which is a 35-acre place in Chicago for people who have developmental problems. And Sister Rosemary, a nun, started in 1974 on the south side in a very small place, and it's grown into this enormous place where people who might have spent the day just sitting in a room alone or just sitting in the room watching television and having an inert feeling that people might be looking down upon them have really flowered. And the start of the day, you are in events from morning to night. Either you're doing work projects, like they have a bakery which goes around town at the food festivals, and they package coffee for Trader Joe's,
yeah.
Or they might be working on computers or doing exercise, but their personalities have come out so much, and there's so much joy there. You walk into a room, and someone immediately hands their hand towards you and wants to shake your hand and wants to know your name, and then they want to tell you their name. And it's just an incredibly joyous place, and it's changed people's lives so much. So I'm doing a book on that which will come out probably the end of this year.
We should hook him up with Lou Manfredini, who works at the station. Mr. Fix-It, he has done endless work with Misericordia, and we should hook you up with him. We're going to take a quick break and come back. His name is Steve Shapiro. There is a beautiful book entitled Bowie, some of the most amazing pictures of David Bowie ever taken by Steve Shapiro, and it's a beautiful book. He's going to have a signing and an event going on at the Ed Paschke Art Center, 3 p.m. Saturday, 5415 West Higgins Avenue in Jefferson Park. You can go to steveshapiro.com for more information. We'll continue next. Bill F., Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
Steve Shapiro is our guest. He has a new book, Bowie. He's also going to be appearing at the Ed Paschke Art Center at 3 p.m., May the 21st. That's on Higgins Avenue. The event is free, but attendees can reserve a copy of the new book, Bowie, to be signed by Mr. Shapiro for just $50. Steve, you were talking about some of the work you did with Robert De Niro, with Martin Scorsese. Now, you were taking pictures of these guys when they were just kind of up-and-comers, and now we've seen how they've blossomed. You could say the same about David Bowie and many of your subjects. Can you tell, is there something inside of somebody that as you're meeting them as a young performer or artist that you just say, this person is destined for greatness?
I think you have a sense of it very often. And what I really appreciate is that personal growth. And Bowie is very exceptional in the sense that, you know, the Rolling Stones and the Beatles have given us fantastic music. I mean, incredible music. But basically, when Mick Jagger gets on the stage, he's very much the same as the Mick Jagger who started. The backgrounds may change.
Mm-hmm. The dance, the struts, definitely the same.
All of that the same.
The rooster walk.
Whereas with David, there was this sense of growth, and he created a character or a persona for himself, and then he would move on into something else. And all through his life, he continued to have this amazing sense of growth. And he had an inner spirituality also. This book isn't as much a rock and roll book as a book about him. And there are a lot of pictures in it where he looks at the camera, and rather than looking like one of his characters, you sense the person. You sense the real person behind it. And that's one of the things that excites me about this book for me.
It is absolutely gorgeous. And again, Steve Shapiro mentioned that on the cover is an outfit that Bowie constructed at your photo shoot right then and there, just putting white paint on a black shirt, pants, and his black socks. And tell us about the last time David Bowie wore that outfit.
He wore it at this shoot, the first shoot I did with him, and it was actually the first set of pictures he did. And he painted these diagonal white stripes on by himself. And then the surprise for me, and the amazing surprise, is that the only time he ever wore that same outfit or something exactly like that is in the Lazarus video, which he made just before he died. So basically, this had a very spiritual context for him and was spiritually important. He was a very spiritual person. He was into the Kabbalah. He was into a search, really, in life for just a path.
You know what I'm noticing at most of the pictures, if not all of them, in this Bowie book is David Bowie showing some kind of inner peace in all of these photographs.
I agree with you entirely. I think that's really true. There are some images in there where he's wearing costumes and he does things like that. But the pictures I most enjoy are the ones where he's looking right at the camera and being very much himself, very relaxed. The final picture in the book was a picture which I first printed much lighter, and I felt it had like this light quality. And in the book, it's printed a little darker, and suddenly I feel a real sense of the person in it, a much stronger sense than I've seen probably in most other pictures that I've seen of him.
Steve, when it comes to photography, you're obviously a craftsman. What do you think of photography in today's world? Everybody just wants to take quick selfies, and it's so disposable and haphazard. Are you happy with the state of the art of photography in today's society?
Well, I think the camera is about to become obsolete.
Yeah,
I think we're into all kinds of all kinds of cell phone things.
Sure. Like instant gratification, just snapping a picture without much thought behind it.
Well, that's the whole thing. The thing you have to realize is that the camera's not the boss, you are. And the great thing about the digital age is that you could really look at a picture in the back of your camera after you take it and ask yourself, how could I do this better? Mm-hmm. Or if someone's blinking, you can immediately change it and take another picture.
So that has made your job a little bit easier, because before you would develop your own stuff and you'd have to wait, and maybe that subject you couldn't get again. This way with the digital world, it is kind of helping you, as you just said, if eyes are closed or you look at it and go, wait, let's move this and get that in the shot as well. Any advice for people taking selfies? Off-centered? Do you not want yourself in the center of the frame? What do you want?
I think it's so funny. I was married 34 years ago, and I had photographed Chevy Chase's wedding, actually, because I had been working with him, and he came to our wedding. And so this is 34 years ago, and he went around the room. He came to our wedding to take pictures of our wedding because I had taken it his. He brought a Polaroid camera, and he took selfies of everyone there. So he might have been the first selfie guy.
Is that funny? It is a pleasure to meet you. Please keep in touch with us when your Misericordia book comes out. In the meantime, go meet Steve Shapiro. Stories aplenty, and all your photographs tell a story. You can go to the Ed Paschke Art Center at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, this coming Saturday, May 21st, 5415 West Higgins Avenue. That's in Jefferson Park. You can go to edpaschkeartcenter.org. And do us a favor and go to steveshapiro.com. steveshapiro.com. We'll put a link on our Facebook page, because some of the works of art you have done, including one of my personal favorites I just found right now, Muhammad Ali sitting behind a Monopoly board.
Which is a whole story in itself.
What an amazing man you are. Go ahead. You can tell that story.
I was playing Monopoly with Muhammad Ali.
Who gets to say that?
Nobody. Just you, Steve.
And
what happened?
And basically, I was losing, and a lot of my stuff would go to the bank, and he kept loaning me money so that eventually he would own absolutely everything on the board, all the money and all the property.
He knows how to win, doesn't he? He's the greatest.
Steve, thank you. These pictures are sparkling. Great to meet you.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. It's been a great pleasure.
We'll take a quick break, and then Steve with the news next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.